My guest today is Matoš Turek, a member of the Week of Unrest student group that's protesting during the end of February proposed government reforms to the education system. So, Matoš, what exactly are the reforms that the government are proposing and what don't you like about them?
There are two drafts. One draft is concerning the autonomy of universities, how they are to be governed, and the other one, the financing part. It's called the financial help to the students, which is kind of a funny title, I would say. So it introduces changes to the autonomy, which means that there is a different system of governing the schools altogether. As of now, academic senates are the governing principle of schools, of universities around the country. And then you have a rector. And now the academic senates should lose most of their, well, I could say privileges, but it's basically their rights. And the academic senates are elected by the academia. So now it should be the board of directors, the so-called board of directors, or the university council, as it is labeled, who should decide about especially budget matters, which...
And this is something you feel that would give the government extra influence over universities? How would it reduce the autonomy of universities?
It surely would, because one third of the board of directors should be appointed directly by the Minister of Education. Also, the government should confirm the selection of the board of directors. So there is direct political influence upon the governing bodies of the universities, which is something unheard of in civilized countries, I would say.
And the second part of the proposals is to do with the way that universities are financed. And there's been a proposal to introduce, I think, capped fees of around 10,000 crowns or something like that. Is that correct?
That's right. There has been some talk about that it should be changed as of now, but we don't know yet. It's mostly words and no assurances. But now the financing from the state goes through a so-called normative. So you have amount that goes per student. It's multiplied by a coefficient, which is higher for technical universities, lower for humanities. And a historical point is that this led the universities to take many more students, many more applicants. And this was endorsed by the government, and it has been endorsed up until now. And now the government has realized that it's not tenable, that we can't have so many students, which is perhaps true, and it makes sense. We have many more students by percentage in the population than we had 10 years ago.
So the reforms would actually serve to reduce the number of students?
They probably would, but...
And that's a good thing, because obviously you get a lot of debate these days that in order to compete with China and all the rest of it, we need to educate our populations, and you're saying that there maybe are too many students?
Well, economically, there are just too many universities and students. If you look at the number of private universities, which is a different matter, but the number of university-educated people is going up as well. The quality of the education is a problem, and it's not possible to be funded in such scale. But the real problem is that the private universities are not regulated in any way. So you have the public sector, which is pressurized by this legislation, but the private universities are not talked of at all in the drafts.
So right now, education for students is free. The proposals would seek to what you would presumably view as opening the door to fees, which once the door is open, they can go up any time. So is this something you're fundamentally opposed to, the idea of student fees and indebting students?
The big question is whether we want to lower the number of students on the basis of their intellect or on the basis of their income. And that's what the government has all wrong, I think, and we think together. Because if you introduce fees, which wouldn't be nominal, I think that a lot of the student activists are not against nominal fees, paid as you go, not after you earn some money. Debts are not the way to go, as we have seen in England and in other countries. So we would accept if quality really was the thing that decided how many students get into the universities and who gets there, and not the thought of, okay, I have to pay off 100,000 crowns after I finish.
So how would students pay this? Do the reforms mention anything about some sort of student loan mechanism or something like that?
Yeah, that's the part. The financing law is concerned most with the loans. The loans should be guaranteed by the state, but they should be guaranteed to the banks. So the banks get steady interest rates, which should be paid for by the government. And once a former student attains, I think, two times the minimum wage, he starts paying off himself, which is quite strange because double the minimum wage is much less than had been proposed before. That's not a lot of money, actually. The reason why Jozef Dobeš, the minister, says the fees are justified is that the students should not expect the society to pay for their own privileges. But we see educated society as an absolute must in the world. And if you make people pay for their education, you're going to exclude a whole lot of people who might not think that they may pay it.
So when you look at something like the British example, where a few years ago they changed the system from free education to paid education, one of the criticisms of those reforms has been that it actually hurts the middle classes the most, because the poor get subsidies, the rich, no problem, and ultimately it's the middle class that suffers. What's your take on the British example? Is that something you're suspicious of?
I think that in Britain there is a greater rate of trust in institutions. So scholarships and financial help is somehow managed in a tenable way. Here, we don't think that that's going to be the case. So not only the middle classes, but also the lower classes. It's more of a psychological barrier in some sense, that you first make people think about the money and only then about education. And the education should come first.
Is not the present merit-based system also open to corruption? Because you sometimes hear a lot about various universities admitting somebody because they're the friend's sister's uncle's brother and all that sort of thing. That's quite common in the Czech Republic. How would you reform that?
Okay, that problem is a great problem, you're right. And actually, the Rector's Conference and the Student Initiative has criticized the drafts that they do not take on this problem anyhow, really. And we are definitely for an analysis of the system, how it works, because there has not been a real analysis of the financing, nor of the actual working of the universities. So it might be dealt with in the future, and it should be dealt with, but the drafts don't mention it. One thing that could help is a quality control from the Accreditation Commission, which now is taking place in Pilsen, for instance. I think that the Pilsen law faculty crisis is quite known. There have been students who received their diplomas without any effort. So the Accreditation Commission has decided to shut the whole faculty. But now there are efforts from the government, from the Minister of Education, to halt this, which is absurd. We are all for quality control. There is no question in that.
And we're recording this interview one day after 10 rough, well, students say 10,000, police say 7,000, but obviously a lot of students marched on the offices of the Czech government yesterday, and that resulted in the Prime Minister, Petr Nečas, saying that he was now willing to negotiate with students over the proposed reforms. So it looks like what was initially proposed is now politically untenable, and that there are going to be talks. So are you hopeful that you've had an impact? This has been quite a huge sort of PR effort, hasn't it?
Actually, it has. We are quite happy with that, especially with how many people have turned up, because it was in the morning, and altogether, throughout Czech Republic, 20,000 people, mostly students, have come out into the streets, and there have been many more events, like the university night. I have been there, and I saw that there weren't only students. There were people who came to actually learn something about the drafts, about the initiative. So I think it has had a PR effect, especially on the population, which otherwise wouldn't have to care.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you about, because sometimes you hear critiques that young people are just apathetic. They don't get involved enough. So is this as fired up as young people have been politically since, you know, 1989?
Yes. The students have realized that it's them who should care about the universities. It's on the basic level of what's going to happen to me in the next few years. So there is a question about the future. And I think that's a change, because the system has been sort of stale, you could say. So in that respect, we have to thank Jozef Dobeš.
One last question, very briefly. Since, obviously, students were so involved with the Velvet Revolution, the optics of a government upsetting students is still quite a powerful one. Is that correct?
It is.
You get the public on your side.
Yes.
Quite easily.
I don't think it's that easy, because if you look at the media reports, I think that the government, up until the students have come out, have quite easily, I don't know if the word manipulated is the correct one, but I would say so. The public opinion, in a way such as that, the academia are vying for their own private interests. The president has said this. He has refused to give a lecture, which had been scheduled for months in Brno at Masaryk University, because of the protests. And I think there is a big no from the society to this. And that's really something we appreciate.
Matouš Turek, member of Week of Unrest, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.